This is the Tom Likas Show.
You're a freak with a microphone.
And now, from the New Normal Studios in Burbank.
Tom
Likas.
Thank you for tuning in to the Tom Likas Show. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, this is where you hear us live. Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. 24-7 at Tom.show. You can hear us on our free app. Get it at the App Store. Get it at Google Play. Or get it at TomEverywhere.com. That's TomEverywhere.com. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for being part of the program. We appreciate it. Here we are together again. It's you. It's me. And it's a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. We are here with family law attorney Adam Sachs. Always a pleasure. We'll turn your mic on there.
That would be nice.
There we go.
Thank you.
Good. We're breaking in new employees, so once in a while, as we are breaking Jose in over there, that's going to happen.
All right. So I know who to be angry at, right?
What, are you angry about that?
No.
Come on.
Nah, Jose's a lot of laughs.
He's a great guy. And he'll be filling in for Timpson soon. So
he's
got to learn the board in there, and that's how you do that.
So, Tom.
Yes, Adam.
I know it's election day, but I'm going to be normal, I swear.
Well, that's a good idea. Too late to influence the vote now.
I don't know. They're showing it state by state, so it's still, who knows.
Yeah, but the point is, though, that today everybody's voted. There's nothing you can do to change minds at this point.
Yes, no doubt about it. So, you know, Tom, in family law, there's a lot you got to do. And as you know, I'm primarily an advocate for men. I do represent women sometimes, too, though, of course. But I want to talk about how guys end up getting screwed. And you have to remember, first of all, that the system is pretty much geared towards protecting women and children. There's
right.
No doubt about it.
Yes.
Now, when feminism, you know, kind of got involved and started, you know, looking at the law and women were trying to make things more equal, you know, a lot of the assumptions in family law were tried to be made neutral. There had been a certain assumptions that were favoring men. Those were made neutral. But the stuff that was favoring women, generally speaking, was left in place.
Yes.
So women made it neutral as long as it helped them. And as far as men were concerned, if men had a disadvantage, that was kind of left in there. Now, you do hear these kind of high-profile celebrity cases, particularly of, you know, women having to pay alimony to their good-for-nothing husband. But, you know, that's a great thing, and it can happen because it's supposed to be relatively neutral. But generally speaking, you know that that's kind of unusual. Also, you hear cases about men getting custody, and I've done that a lot of times. It is a little bit of a magic trick, but it can happen. It's not impossible. It's not, you know, unbelievably rare. But the truth is, in the vast majority of cases, custody goes to the women. A lot of times, the mother was a stay-at-home mother anyway. The father leaves, you know, so he moves out of the family home. He leaves the kids behind. If the woman leaves or there's like a breakup, she takes the kids and goes to her new place or to her parents or whatever. And there's sort of this sort of cultural type of thing where the woman grabs the kids and leaves, you know.
Right.
And that has a big influence. Generally speaking, also, if the guy leaves the family home or the wife throws him out or whatever it is, changes the locks or whatever women do, the kids are already there. They have their rooms. They're going to that school that they're used to in that school district. And so this whole idea of them, you know, having less... you know, change in their lives and less problems in their lives and, you know, the upheaval of the divorce, if they're already in place with the mother in the house, with, the, you know, the school and everything else, they're going to tend to want to leave it that way. Now, I've always said, and this is something that goes back, you know, to Lincoln, who said, the person who represents themselves has a fool for a client. You're out of your mind, you know, facing this. And facing the legal system without a lawyer. It's just not normal. But I want to talk to you about what happens when you do. So first of all, in the downtown L.A. courthouse, but this is something that you'd see in any courthouse, there's what they call the self-help center. And this is for people, particularly guys, who are trying to do it without a lawyer and don't know what the hell they're doing. and they don't know which forms to file, and they don't know how to fill them out, and whatnot, and whatnot. And so this is something I see all the time. This starts at maybe 7:30 in the morning. These poor schlubs are standing online for the self-help center, and we are talking about a lot of people online standing there kind of helplessly, and they're waiting for, you know, these people to help them. Now, who is in the self-help center? Having waited for hours, you're finally going to get in, and you have some very good intentioned people, but they're not lawyers, they're volunteers, and they're trying to help you fill out the forms. Now, this is an important thing to understand, which is the difference between a paralegal and a lawyer. A lot of people go to a paralegal, and a paralegal helps them fill out forms. Now, Tom, you always tease about people going to the UPS store, getting doing a do-it-yourself will or whatever.
Because I literally have known people who've done that.
Right. Well, you know, there are certain things that are not, you know, out of this world complicated. For example, I mean, I don't charge for this. I've helped people form a corporation, for example. And forming a corporation, you know, in most states is a couple of forms, and you got to send them to, you know, the Secretary of State, which, you know, as we've said, paradoxically is the same as getting a marriage license. So there's really no difference whatsoever. But, you know, doing that is something that's fairly straightforward. It's technical. It doesn't really require any real analysis. Now, a paralegal can help you fill out certain forms in terms of getting, generally speaking, an uncontested divorce, which means that there's a divorce where you don't really have anything you're fighting over, you don't have any property, you don't have any issues, you don't have any custody issues, and it's just pretty straightforward. But the volunteer or even the paralegal who's actually, you know, theoretically trained or whatever to do this is not helping you with strategy. That's the difference. A lawyer is looking at the whole situation, looking at the strengths and the weaknesses of a case, and talking about how you can win. And in your side, winning means getting more time with your children, getting primary custody of your children, having to pay less child support, not having to pay alimony or less alimony. You know, Tom, we talk about alimony, and you've always repeated something that's just haunting, which is that most of the time when you have a long-term marriage, which means more than 10 years, you could be paying alimony permanently. In other words, for the rest of your life, as long as your ex-wife is alive. And that's true. That happens to guys. And normally speaking, alimony is half the length of the marriage. That's also true as a theoretical thing that, let's say you're married for 6 years, it would be typical to pay alimony for 3 years. But I got to tell you, Tom, in a lot of cases that I've done, I got the guy out with no alimony. I mean, and I had one last year that was a long-term marriage. They were married for 15 years, and we worked on it. It was complicated, but the bottom line is the guy got away with paying no alimony at all to the ex-wife. And the
how
ex-wife,
does that happen? I mean, I know it's
the totality of circumstances.
One of the great attorneys, but
well,
I mean,
you.
Seriously, how does that happen?
That in some cases, it has to do financially. In the case that I'm mentioning, the wife actually didn't work, but she had done certain things that the judge did not like. She had not gotten sufficient work, and she also had a guy move in that she was supporting. And the judge looked at the totality of circumstances, and literally this was the judge's, it was like an opinion the judge wrote. And the judge wrote, there's no reason that this person, the ex-husband, should have to pay to support her new boyfriend and her sedentary lifestyle, where she refused to work. She pissed off the judge. And we demonstrated it. It's discretionary, and the judge gave her zero alimony.
Now,
there it is.
Tell me this. That's not the way it normally works,
that's
is it?
That's true. No, that was unusual. And that's something that's one of the reasons people say we wouldn't need a lawyer for.
Right.
I mean, when I'm saying the difference between a paralegal and a lawyer on your side is that a paralegal wouldn't even begin to think about something like that. A paralegal is not doing anything by law, acting as an attorney. So a paralegal is just showing you that, you know, check off this box and fill out over here and sign on the back. They're not doing anything strategic in terms of analysis. And in the case of alimony, for example, like I just described, a guy who had a long-term marriage paying a lifetime of alimony or paying no alimony, can you imagine, financially speaking, the difference? Huge. Absolutely huge.
Let me throw something at you, which actually comes from my own well of experience.
Sure.
with divorce attorneys who have done great work
mm-hmm.
for me. Here is one thing that a divorce attorney, and correct me if I'm wrong, one thing a divorce attorney does for me that the person at the UPS store is not going to do, the attorney generally knows who all the judges are.
Right.
The judges who are more likely to give an outcome like that, my attorneys have known who they are
right.
and have tried to get before them and not the others.
Well, that's another interesting point. You know, people don't know this, but when you file a new case, you hand in your papers, and the clerk of the court assigns you a judge. And what people don't know is that you don't have to accept the judge that they give you. You can reject the judge and get a new one. And this is something that, you know, this is, again, a paralegal is not going to discuss something like that with you. The reality is that there is a way to do it, that you can reject a judge and under certain circumstances even reject another one if they give you another one. And we know, like you say, it's not a question of corruption, but you know that there are certain judges whose personalities and inclinations are different. And let's say a male judge versus a female judge, or there are certain even female judges that are more pro-fathers or less pro-the wife or whatever.
And there are some judges who feel sorry for women and children and
right.
are more sympathetic to them. You can't just assume that because someone's a man, he's going to find for
true.
The man, or if someone's a woman, he's going to find for the woman. Many times these are reversed.
No, that's
but
true.
Attorneys who are practicing law 5-6 days a week in the area where these judges are pretty much knows who all of them are and what kind of outcomes they can expect.
That is absolutely correct.
So that's an important reason to hire an attorney
yeah.
And not to try to do divorces by yourself. And the more you have to lose, the more this is true.
Definitely true.
Because a professional, one of the great divorce attorneys, and California's got some of the best in the world, including you, by the way.
Thank you.
The bottom line here is that you're not going to get that kind of information from LegalZoom or from going and buying divorce paperwork, yes, at the UPS store or at Staples.
Or the self-help center, Tom.
Right, exactly right. You need to have your own person. And, again, the more you have to lose, whether it's custody, possible child support, or your wealth, you really have to spend money on an attorney to make sure you get it done right.
Well, I got to tell you something. One of the heartbreaks for me is, for example, and we're talking about money, obviously, but I also know that there are certain judges, certainly, who are more sympathetic to fathers, for example. I mean, there's no doubt about it. You
yeah.
can see. And, you know, when someone like you say, like myself and other lawyers who've been around for a while, and we talk to one another, obviously, and you say, you know, wow, Judge so-and-so, you know, really, you know, sticks it to the father, you know, or vice versa. Here's a judge that's more sympathetic to the father. And, you know, when you talk about going through the self-help center, you're also coming out and you're going to represent yourself, you know, in front of the judge. That's also a different mentality. I know some of the lawyers that you've used, for example, you
yeah.
know, years ago when you got divorced.
Yeah.
And these are guys that when they come into the courtroom, the judge knows them, you know, and in the same way that I think the judges tend to know me.
Yeah.
And they already kind of given you a little bit of respect.
Right.
It's a whole different experience than when you walk in and you're just Joe Slob and you're like, you know, hi, Your Honor. You know, what do you know? I hope I did this right. Most people, when they've represented themselves, call me and they tell me, oh, you know, the judge didn't listen to me. I hardly got to talk. The judge was a dick. He didn't even care what I had to say. The whole thing, you know, people think it's a big drama. They say the whole thing took less than 20 seconds. I walked in, boom, stamp, and I was out. I couldn't even believe it. You know, they think they're going to have this, you know, this elderly, wise, you know, professor sitting
yeah.
in an easy chair, you know, smoking a pipe.
Like
and,
television.
You know, talking to them about the case like...
That's where people think they're getting that from TV.
Judge Judy, man.
The reality, look, I've been before four... judges for divorce alone.
Yeah, Mr. Masochist.
Yes, these guys are jaded.
Yeah.
They've seen it all before. They don't want to hear your bullshit.
Yeah.
They don't want you to, by the way, they want you to take up as little time as necessary, and if you take too long, they're going to cut your nuts off.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you got to remember also that they have a calendar on any given day of maybe 25, 30, 35 or more cases.
Right.
Plus they have a trial going on. They are like, come on, next, let's go.
Yeah.
Keep the calendar moving, you know?
Right.
And they want to take a break, and they're like everyone else. They're lazy, they want to drink their coffee, they got phone calls to make to some friend of theirs. They're trying to get through their calendar, and if you're coming in there and you're being long-winded and making a long story, you piss them off. That's
right.
it, forget it. So that's number one. Now, people talk about this to me a lot. I mean, I have a lot of guys. This is a, I'm going to kind of finish up at this point also, but I want to talk about this in the middle. But I'm this is where I'm going. I have a lot of guys who call me, and I realize when they're talking to me that they've already gone to court. So in other words, they went to court yesterday or even that morning, and they've already lost. And then they call me and start talking about what they did. And one of the classic things that people do, and this is something that they gear you towards, and this is something you have to do legally, but it's different when you're representing yourself. You've handed in your papers, you haven't had your court hearing yet, and they send you to mediation. Now, this is, theoretically a good thing. Mediation is the idea that you're going to sit down before you go to court with you and your ex, and particularly over the issue of custody, for example, and you're going to sit down with this neutral person who's called a mediator, who generally has a background in social work. Some of them are volunteers, but a lot of them are actually professionals that do this all the time. And you have these in, like, small claims court, you know, trying to get the two sides to work things out. Some of them, you know, just, you know, are students and so forth, doing it for free or whatever. But anyway, the mediator sits down with you and your ex say, okay, so can we work this out? How about you take the kids on the weekend and I take them and blah, blah, blah. And they try to type this up, and then you can have what's called a mediated agreement. Now, that sounds relatively harmless. It's something that people want to try to do. But in my experience, when the guys call me and they don't know what the hell happened, they tell me, and this is a quote, I got screwed by the mediator. Now, what does that mean? I'm really fascinated by that because, you know, the mediator is strictly voluntary. This is something where you fill out your name, they call you, you come in, you either sit with your ex or they put you in separate rooms or whatever, but, you know, you don't have to sign it. One of the things I always say is you don't have to agree. So I always say to guys, how do they get screwed by the mediator? Well, let's think about this for a second. Who becomes a mediator, do you think? Who gets involved in social work? Especially today.
The gals?
It's mostly women. Female-dominated type of thing.
Right.
These are girls that had problems in their own lives, difficult backgrounds, had daddy issues, had all kinds of crazy family stuff, and they became social justice warriors where they think that they are going to change the world and help injustice and this sort of thing. And so when you come bouncing in with your ex, it's very clear to them before you even get started that you're obviously a penetrating male cisgendered rapist and, you know, obviously abusive and cruel and domineering, and you've oppressed and tortured this poor innocent virgin woman that you were married to or was your girlfriend or whatever, your baby mama. And she comes in and she's all, you know, this is your ex, demure and sad and, oh, I just tried so hard to make him happy and nothing was ever good enough and he's horrible. And so the mediator, there's a great thing with women, what they call same group preference. The female mediator is taking your ex's side. There's no doubt about it. And the reason that these guys come out of sessions of mediation and feel that they got screwed is because they did. I mean, if you're looking at California law, and law in every state now, the obsession is 50-50. The whole idea behind the new laws is joint custody. Now, guys tell me I got joint legal custody, but I only get to see my kid or kids or whatever one weekend a month. If you calculate it, their percentage is like 5% of the time or 10% of the time, and that goes directly to increasing the amount of child support, which is ridiculous. But even, you know, aside from the financial issue, which is tragic, the real tragedy is you're not spending very much time with your kids. I mean, seriously, your time with your children is very, very limited, and it's given to you in little tiny slices, and then whatever you get is one thing, and she gets all the rest of the time. And then guys figure, you know, my ex is going to be reasonable, and you call her and you say, can I have the kids this weekend because I want to take them to so-and-so, and she goes, no, it's not your time. Check your court order, asshole. It doesn't say this. I'm not giving you this weekend. No way. And a lot of guys put in all kinds of things. You know, the mother promises to be flexible or whatever. Let me tell you something. If it's not in writing, you're not getting it, period. And this is a tragedy. And women treat it as though their children's time is their own exclusive property. And that they're sort of, you know, very unwillingly doling it out, you know, and being as stingy as they can. And I've been in a few cases where we were walking into court and we tried to talk, or I talked to the other lawyer, and the mother's saying, you know, the kids need to be with me, and they don't want to be with him, and he's an asshole, and, you know, I think that, you know, 2 hours on a Saturday with a supervisor is more than enough, you know? Now, the studies show, and this is for boys and girls, and it may actually be in some cases even more so for girls, believe it or not, that not having a strong male presence and not having their father in their lives is really bad for children, especially teenagers. And when you look at these out-of-control kids or the, you know, the different manifestations for boys that get into legal trouble and end up going to jail and committing crimes and so forth and getting into drugs, dropping out of school, if you look at girls and their delinquencies, which is, you know, early sex, getting pregnant, dropping out of school, of course, drugs, you know, becoming prostitutes, whatever, you know, these things are much, much higher as they have less or even no involvement of a father, whether the parents are married or not. You know, it is possible that if people are divorced, the children can still grow up relatively healthy and okay and be normal adults as long as they have both parents as normal presences. So you have both parents, you know, kind of splitting custody or sharing custody, and, you know, it's not like one parent lives very far away or something. They're both kind of around, and this is something that's critical. And it makes me sad because I don't think that, you know, most guys are bad. I think that there are a lot of guys, and you know this, Tom, we always talk about this, there are a lot of guys that didn't, you know, really sign on to having kids, that it was kind of forced on them to some degree, where they were being stupid, they were like being a little loose with the birth control, okay, weren't checking too carefully. Women have most of the options.
Or they were in love, and so they decided they were going to do anything she said.
All right, well, that's another story. If you're going to be that dumb. Plus, there's all the guys that tell me how it just felt better or whatever, not to have a condom on or whatever.
Right.
But the bottom line is, okay, so now you have a kid. I really hope, and I have to say I hope, that, you know, most guys aren't just like feral cats. I'd like to believe that most men, once they have a child, they recognize what that means and that their child means something to them and they care and they want their child to have a decent life and to grow up and to have a decent childhood and to, you know, have the things that the child needs and go to get a good education and have clothes and friends and, you know, have a parent in their lives. And when I talk to guys, you know, it's amazing. If you look at the way people buy stuff on eBay, you know, when you return something on eBay, people want the $5 postage back. And people are really nervous about collecting their debts and not getting ripped off. You know, I brought Zanku chicken to you, Tom, and the guys, you know, on my show today. I brought it along. And when I was checking out of the place, there was a woman who was arguing with the cashier with her bill. And it was like maybe $12 worth of chicken, and she was really pissed off. She felt that she had been overcharged, and she was screaming about it, you know? People get really sensitive about this. But on the other hand, which is depressing, is I talk to a lot of guys who go in, and they end up literally bargaining away their children, where they don't get to see their kids, they end up paying a lot of money in support that they didn't need to pay, and they lose their parental rights, more or less, where they have very little contact with the children. They leave the mother to have all the authority, so what ends up happening is she meets a new guy, and she decides she wants to move to another state. Classically, she wants to move to Florida or Texas or whatever, and so you're going to not see the kids, you know, except during, like, the occasional Christmas break or Easter break or whatever. And basically, you're going to lose your kids. And guys tell me, yeah, I love my son. I can't believe it. He's moving to Michigan. And I'm like, dude, are you crazy? I mean, why aren't you fighting that? And guys are just, like, very passive about this. And we really need to have men, I think, be more assertive and assert their rights as fathers, because if they don't, the rights get taken away.
Right.
Going into court without a lawyer, go into the goddamn self-help center so you don't have a lawyer, you don't have a strategy, going to the mediation, which is with a fucking feminist lesbian who hates your guts, okay, this is not the way to protect your rights as a father. And what ends up happening, and this is the tragedy of tragedies, and I'm not talking about someone that, you know, got married in Vegas and did a quickie marriage and is getting a quickie divorce. I'm talking about someone that has kids, that has things to lose, who goes in, he gets screwed, and then he calls me in the afternoon or the next day and says, what do I do now?
We'll take a break here. We'll come back, and your phone calls are coming up here. For family law attorney Adam Sachs, are you separated? Are you getting a divorce? Are you in the middle of a divorce that isn't working out? Are you worried about child custody, child support? Are you worried about paying vagina money? Have you gotten a restraining order? These are all the romantic things that happen in a marriage,
not
folks.
Very romantic.
No, not at all. Here is your phone number right now to talk to Adam with free legal advice for you. All you have to do is call 901-3000-TOM. That's the number here. 901-3000-TOM. Dial us right now at 901-3000-866.
Don't let your smartphone be a dumbass. Download the Tom Likas app now. 1-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
Oh,
cover time.
It's the Tom Likas Show from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. And we are here with a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. And you can talk to family law attorney Adam Sachs right now by calling 901-3000-TOM. That's our number, 901-3000-TOM. You can call us right here at 901-3000-866. This Sunday is when we're all convening in San Francisco for dinner at the top steakhouse, in my opinion, and in the opinion of many of the online sources. Yeah, you're not going to find a better steakhouse than this in San Fran. And that is where we're having our private room, just with P1s like you. Join us in San Francisco this Sunday night at 7 o'clock. All you have to do is go to dinnerwithtom.com and reserve your place at the table. And pretty soon we're going to cut that off. So if you're thinking about it, now's the time to commit. 901-3000-TOM is the number. Dinnerwithtom.com is the website where you will go and sign up and see us Sunday night in San Fran. This is our only appearance in the Bay Area, folks, for this year. So this is your only opportunity to get together with me and Gary and your P1 friends. So that's coming up Sunday night, 7 o'clock, at a major, major steakhouse in San Francisco. Join us in the private room. Go to dinnerwithtom.com. Dinnerwithtom.com. All right, your calls. 901-3000-TOM. Here comes Mario in El Monte on the Tom Likas Show. Hello.
Hey, Dad. Hey, Adam.
Hey, what's up, Mario? How you doing?
I went through this whole process of the child support thing, and my baby mama was getting a certain dollar amount. She found a way to boost up that child support payment by saying she was going to have to pay child care for $600 a month.
Right.
And the child provider was going to be her mom, which is the grandma of my daughter.
Is that something else, Tom, or what? Okay.
Right.
I don't know if you know this. As an aside, Mario, apparently... Michelle Obama's mother has been the past several years living in the White House. Can you imagine having your mother-in-law like that?
Oh, my.
And she watches the kids, and the federal government was paying her, and now she's going to get a federal government pension based on that.
Oh, my.
And so what Mario's talking about is something unbelievable. These girls have their mother watch the kid, and they pay the mother, and this becomes part of their support. Even though it's to their own mother or to
right.
a sister or whoever. And this actually becomes officially part of your child support, part of your obligation. You know, families used to help each other like this. Now this is like, you know, strictly business. Right. So that's unbelievable. Okay, and let me ask you, when you did the original order for support, you didn't have a lawyer, right?
No, I did not. And I also got screwed by the mediator.
See, there you go. Am I right? Is that like walking in blind or what?
It blew me off what you were saying earlier because I was like, God damn, you know, Adam is totally right on about
Thank you.
All this.
Wait a minute. So let's not try to rub it in. Let's not abandon this though. Adam said earlier, and I want to confirm with you, Adam. Adam, you said you don't have to accept the finding of the mediator.
Right.
So
yeah, well,
you said you get screwed by the mediator. Why'd you say yes to being screwed?
Yeah, well, my baby mama kind of she went in there and she started threatening me about she's gonna say this, you know. And while my question was, Adam, it's my baby mama. She works from 9 a.m. to 11 p.m. And
really?
My daughter.
What? Whoa! She works 14 hours a day, 13 hours. Hard to believe.
She has two jobs. Yeah, and she has two jobs.
Very
my
ambitious.
Daughter goes to school. from 8 to 2 o'clock. And I told her various times, my baby mama, if I could go pick up my daughter from school,
yeah,
she won't allow me. She wants her mom to take care of my daughter on the weekend. She goes to work.
You know why? Because it's more cash for the mother.
Yeah.
Let's face it. And I'll tell you something else. You know, it's very hurtful. Because, okay, so she has, it sounds like, primary custody. And most of the time, and listen, I'm glad that she's working. Good for her. But the truth is, if she's coming home at 11 p.m., she's working the whole day. She's not spending any time with your daughter at all. And those days should be with you. You should have primary custody if you have more time to give to your daughter. And that's amazing. There you go, Tom. So now he says to her, hey, you're not seeing her anyway. Why don't I see her on Tuesday or Wednesday or whatever? And the mother automatically tells you no, right?
Yeah, she just says no. You know, it's her that my daughter's not ready to go with me, that she's better off with her grandma and so on.
Yeah, God forbid she should spend time with her father. Now, look, I hate to say this to Mario, but you've been careless about custody. The truth of the matter is that you need to get a proper custody order. If your ex, whatever, baby mama, the hell she is, if she works most of the time and she's not with your daughter, she's not having a meaningful contact. Now, the fact that your daughter's spending some time with her grandma, that's all very nice, but you as the parent should be the priority. And so I would go in there and change your whole custody situation upside down, because you should be the one who has most of the custody because you have more time to give. Okay, that's very obvious. And then, by the way, this is going to affect how much child support you pay. Because if you've got your daughter, you know, instead of now, which is, it sounds like a very small percentage, but if you have your daughter 40, 50, 60% of the time, this girl could be paying you child support, especially if she earns more than you. These are things that you never explored because you didn't have a lawyer.
Now her mom, the grandma, she has a criminal background. She had a domestic violence.
Fabulous.
So I...
Unbelievable. Yeah. She beat up someone, or they beat her up, or what?
No, she beat up her husband.
Oh, that's lovely.
And you accepted that outcome in mediation.
Well, why is your daughter spending so much time and quality time with grandma, who's a psycho?
Yeah, well, that's what I'm trying to see if I could do something about it, because I don't understand how the court system just takes her word by saying that she pays $600 when I spoke to the babysitter and she said she hasn't received any money for over 2 months.
Of course. Listen, if you really think that your ex-girlfriend, whatever she is, your baby mama, is handing over that money to her mother, nonsense. Her mother probably doesn't even know about it. She never told her. So the mother's just being nice and helping her, and she's pocketing the difference, okay? Let's face it. But what's bothersome to me, aside from money, which is annoying, is that your daughter is losing out on having more time with you. And she and her mother decided that she's not ready to spend time with you? What the hell is that supposed to mean?
Yes, that's what she is.
Well, give me a break. How old is she?
She's 3.
So she shouldn't be with her father? She's not ready? Give me a freaking break. The time that you do spend with her, she probably runs into your arms. She's thrilled to be with you.
Yeah, she wants me to be part of my daughter's life, but when she wants to.
That's awfully
she
nice
wants
of her.
To put her rules in her.
Yeah, so basically you've got a little tyrant. This is your ex-baby mama who thinks that she's running the show. And I'm sorry to tell you, Mario, you're letting her run the show. And so she is going to become a bigger and bigger and bigger pain in the ass over the years. She thinks she's doing you a big favor. The way these women behave, they think that the children are their property. And so they're doing the father a big favor, letting him have a couple of hours with the kid, okay? But what these women don't realize, and what I mentioned before, is that for a child to be mentally healthy, a child needs to have two parents, a father and a mother, in their lives. And the fact that she makes it difficult for you, and she portions it out to you in little slices, like she's doing you a big favor, is really disgusting. And you're going to see, with your child only 3, you've got 15 years to deal with this. As time goes on, it's going to get worse and worse.
Now, Adam, the reason why I didn't understand why she paid for child care is I work graveyard, so she works during the day. So, I mean, I don't see why I couldn't be with my daughter during the day.
Yeah.
And once she gets to work, you know, I could drop her off or something and me go ahead to work. But,
I'm afraid to see the papers that you already signed.
Yeah.
Why did you agree to something so stupid that doesn't suit you at all?
Yeah, the only papers that I signed, I think, was for child support.
No, you're talking about, you must have an agreement about time split or something. You said you met with a mediator.
Yeah.
So you don't even know what you signed? You're scaring me.
No, I haven't.
Where was your attorney while all this was going on?
No attorney.
Well, I'm going to make him say that.
I was representing myself.
Why?
At that time, I don't
what
know.
What time? This is that time. This is now.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, I mean, I was clueless. The
right, and how long have you been a listener of this show?
97.1 years. From.
Yeah, so you knew this before you got married, much less had a baby.
Well, I didn't get married, but okay.
All right, but before you moved in.
Had the baby, that's
right.
For sure.
Right? So
yes, I did.
Did you hear what I said about that? What did I say about that?
Yeah, don't use protection and...
Don't move her in. No. Don't double down. If you get if you get into a situation where you, for example, losing custody or having to pay child support, you have an attorney. Why didn't you listen to me?
See,
I wasn't financially stable at that time, so I...
If you're not financially stable, hate to tell you, if you're not financially stable, maybe it's not time to be having babies.
Yeah.
Okay, look, Mario, in all fairness, we're not trying to beat you up, right? All right, Tom will beat you up. Let me just ask you this, and this is all in all fairness to you, right? I'm going to assume this, but I want you to maybe just remind me, okay? You do love your daughter, right?
Yes, I do.
I mean, I just say it right. You love your daughter, right? You're trying to be a good father. You're not an asshole.
I love my daughter. I'm not an asshole.
More than anything in the world, right?
You had a baby with an asshole.
Yes. All right, that's life. I'm going to forgive all your mistakes. I'm going to say, okay, maybe you shouldn't have had a baby with this woman, whatever. Leave all that. You've got this daughter now, and you love her, right? You love her to death. Say it to me, please.
I love her to death, Adam. She's my role.
You would do anything for her, right?
I would do anything for her,
okay,
Adam.
Good. Then let me tell you, please, please, doesn't have to be me, but please hire a lawyer. Go to court. Get proper custody orders so that you don't lose your connection to her. Okay, your ex-girlfriend or whatever she was, she is going to screw you. She's preventing you already. It's only been a short time. Your daughter's only 3. She's already giving you obstacles. She doesn't want you seeing her during the days when you're not working. She's giving you shit about this child thing with the mother, with the taking care of her and paying. She's looking at you as a human wallet. And she's giving you very little time with your child. You've got to go. I mean, if your car needed a tune-up, you would spend the money, okay? You've got to spend some money to protect your rights as a father, okay? You've got to do it. You do it for your child. And if you win or you lose years from now when she's a teenager and she's pissed off, you tell her, you know something, honey? I did everything for you. I got a lawyer and I fought for you. And your mother gave me a hard time. And I never... ever gave up on you, not for one second, because you mean the world to me, okay? And if she knows that, if she knows that her father loved her and was willing to sacrifice for her, she is going to love you back and she's going to be okay no matter what happens. But if she gets the impression that you left it to chance and you didn't give a shit and you went to court without a lawyer and you lost custody and you're only seeing her a few hours a week or whatever, she's going to say, my father never loved me, I'm worthless, and she's going to end up screwing things up for herself. Okay? It's really important that men look at this and get involved seriously as parents and never give up on their children and fight to the death. When I talk to guys who are like lukewarm and say, yeah, whatever, maybe I will, maybe I won't, it really makes me sick. And it sounds to me like your heart is in the right place, and I will go to the mat for you. I will. Because being a father, I think, is the most important role that a man can play. And if you don't want to have kids, that's fine, but you already have a kid, and so you've got to do the right thing for that kid.
All right, Adam.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, that's better.
You want to hang on, and I'll put you in touch with Adam so you can, as I always say, fix a bad breakdown?
Please, Father.
Okay. Mario, thank you. Hold on.
Let's see. Mario got screwed in mediation. What did I tell you?
Right. By the way, mediation, if we're an unmarried couple?
Whatever. Yeah. Usually bring in the mediator, try to resolve things, especially with respect to children. Even in, like I mentioned, small claims court. they wheel in the mediators. And, you know, again, I told you, the judge has got 35 cases. If the mediator can solve a few of them, that's great.
Right. But by the same token, I think you give up some of the advantages you get by having your own person representing
you. Well, you always have an advantage having a lawyer, even if there is a mediator.
Right.
But what ends up happening, like I said, with these custody things, in particular with family law, is the mediator is a woman who's pro-female. So you as the guy get screwed. And you know that you don't have to sign it, but look, this guy signed it. Because his baby mama was carrying on, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. So he figured, Jesus, I better just sign this and get it over with. It's going to be a lot worse if I don't. So now he's got a couple of hours here and there with his daughter. She's putting the screws to him when he wants any extra time. She's using her daughter as a profit center to get money for her mother to be the babysitter. And she's, you know, doing him a favor, letting him see his own child. Why should I be bargaining to see my own children? I got to fucking negotiate. I got to sit there and argue with my ex or my ex-girlfriend and say, please let me see the kids this weekend. It's nonsense.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be joint custody. It's supposed to be shared. It's not supposed to be the mother doling it out as a favor to the father.
Right.
It's nonsense.
Well, you know me. I want to pound people into a submission.
There's
no way. I'm not mediating or negotiating anything. I'm taking what's mine.
But if it was your kids, Tom, you would take it seriously. I know you would.
But I take everything. When I'm protecting my wealth, I'm taking it seriously.
Okay, but I talk to these guys and they're like, oh, I went to court today and I already lost.
Right.
So they're calling me after the game is over.
Right.
Well, why did they call me 2 weeks before?
Why did the guy have a baby after I told him not to? It's the same thing continuing on from what we've had.
Well.
Guy's been listening for 20 years, and now he's just figuring out.
Okay, well, the reality is that sex is a powerful drive, okay? And these guys will not use birth control no matter what happens. So that's why they have a kid.
Amazing.
These idiot girls are telling them, oh, I don't think I can get pregnant. The doctor said I can't get pregnant. Do you have any fucking girls say that? Seriously?
Yes.
It's unbelievable. What do you mean you can't get pregnant? Oh no, I don't think my tubes are connected. Give me a break.
No, I haven't gotten pregnant all these years.
Yeah. Oh, I've got people tell me that. Well,
yeah.
We've been having unprotected sex for 2 years, and she hasn't gotten pregnant yet.
Right.
So you're lucky, I guess. Good for you.
Right.
So this is gonna last forever. You're on a streak.
Right. Exactly right. Chicago Cubs are on a streak, okay? And they changed it.
Oh, good God.
That's the way it is. We'll take a break here. We'll come back.
Well, the Chicago Cubs shows that anything is possible.
if you wait 108 years. Well,
that was, Thomas, at the bottom of the eighth, and then it started raining or whatever.
Right?
The extra innings.
Right?
Man, that was crazy. I don't know what was going on.
Best ball game ever, by the way. Best ever. I will come back with Adam. Adam will tell you how you can get in touch with him. We still might be able to squeeze another phone call in. If you want to make it right now, 901-3000-TOM. That is the number here, 901-3000-TOM. Join Adam Sachs right now in our bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show, 901-3000-866.
Coast to coast, around the world, and across the universe, this is the Tom Likas Show.
Have a time.
The Tom Likas Show from the New Normal Studios in Burbank, Sunday. Join us for dinner in San Francisco. Go to dinnerwithtom.com and reserve your place at the table. Dinnerwithtom.com. We're going to be shutting that list down in a day or two. We already have 12 people. We only needed 10 to have the day. So if you want to get in right now, do it. Dinnerwithtom.com right now. Gary and I will be there Sunday night at the greatest steakhouse in San Francisco. Go to dinnerwithtom.com. Adam, how do people get in touch with you?
Well, you can call me toll-free, 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. Check me out on Facebook and also on the World Wide Web, www.adamlawyer.com. And you can send me an email, which I love and I respond to personally, adam@adamlawyer.com.
All right. And if you missed Adam, you missed the chance to call and talk to Adam live. There's always another show with Adam. In fact, it'll be right here in Burbank coming up on Tuesday, 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 p.m. Eastern time.
iHeart, this app, a lot more. Download the Tom Likas app now. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's news for guys. I'm Gary Zeno.
Yay!
You thought the Brad and Angelina thing was over, according to TMZ.
Not a chance.
No, walk that back just a little bit. It's still on, and it's a war.
Is it a war because they really want to see the kids, or is it a war about who's paying for
it? It's a war because she's approached it as a hardcore biatch. And he wants to see the kids, and she's going to make him pay. And she's made it very public and very ugly.
She kept collecting kids along the way.
Yeah. And apparently he wants to see those kids.
I can't believe the more he sees them, the less he's got to pay. So I kind of like that plan.
Yeah, I guess.
He's really getting away with it, Ben.
But what?
She kept collecting kids.
I know, and then of course, then he gets involved in their lives. And then what a thing to then say, you can't see them,
right?
Did he go put his dick somewhere else? Is that what happened?
No.
That actress that he did the move? Come on.
No.
Is that what happened?
No. That's not true.
Do we know for sure?
Yeah,
Why is she so riled up?
I don't know.
Why is she not giving in?
I just think it's a good plan for him to be able to get out of it no matter what happened.
Don't fuck with Uncle Sam. We say it all the time. Rick Ross apparently may be somewhere in the $5.7 million area of owing taxes.
Yeah, I guess the IRS had gone through 3 years of double R's taxes and claims he owes about $5.7 million of that cold, hard cash.
Yeah.
Our friend obviously Rose is no stranger to food and gold chains and stuff, but he's going to have to not be a stranger to the IRS because they don't fool around.
Right.
The IRS is undefeated in life, always. Father Time and the IRS, all. Technical knockouts, they win every time.
What about Mother Nature?
Even she could be, overtaken. You ain't beating the IRS, no matter what.
Okay. Who's this online star? I don't know.
Other
people like to say online star.
This is one of those YouTubers, but the whole thing is that, our friend created an entire fake hate crime, and it wasn't true at all. He did it for attention. And
he says he got beaten up, and in doing so, apparently he caused like $400 worth of damage to a car.
Right.
That he claimed somebody else did? Is that what
he... Yeah, he said that he was beaten up by three dudes at one of those gay nightclubs over there.
Callum McSwiggan.
Yeah.
McSwiggan.
Well, McSwiggan, a lot of other things.
British dude.
Yeah.
Dumb.
By the way, he was sentenced to 3 years. This is what you get for faking it. By the way, it takes away from people that were truly victims of crime. You made the whole damn thing up.
I know. Pick alert for you. If you're not onto this Bella Thorne thing yet, you better wake the fuck up because it's unbelievable what's happening.
She is the best redhead since Angie Everhart.
Yes.
I'm just saying.
And she's kind of slutty.
I love every second of it.
Yeah. She's like, she's in a bathing suit. Is that even a bathing suit? Or I don't even know what that is.
I don't know what it is either. It looks like a bikini-esque thing.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
It's ridiculous. There's a bunch of pictures involved, and she looks fantastic.
Crazy hot.
Yep. Plenty more at newsforguys.com, and of course, you can find our podcast at GaryAndino.com from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. We're back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
This is the New Normal.